Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tip TV Finance. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, the 14th of June, and I'm joined by Mike Ingram, who is still a strategist at BGC Partners. How are you today, Mike?
A little warm, to be honest with you, Zach.
If you wear your winter suit, you can't expect.
Well, no, this is as sheer as it gets.
Right, the pay yes. Apparently there's a pay squeeze on. We had,
yeah.
So is that going to cause trouble, or has it already caused trouble?
It is already causing trouble because, of course, yesterday we had a further uptick in consumer price inflation, both of the headline rate and the so-called core rate. So we're now at effectively a four-year high on the CPI. We're at about a five-year high on the retail price index. And the wage data, wage growth was expected to come in at 2%. Excluding bonus, 2.4%, including bonus, which obviously is still sub-inflationary because the last inflation print was 2.9. It actually came out at 2 and 1.7, excluding bonuses. So, yeah, there is a squeeze on real disposable income. And, you know, the consumer is starting to feel stress, and that's one of the... And the consumer has ultimately been the main driver of UK economic growth. So when the consumer's in pain, that's going to be reflected in GDP.
But isn't this all a bit sort of snowflakey in the sense that when we were young, you had inflation at 10%, interest rates 8-9%. You know, it was a party. But I mean, this is nothing still, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yes, you had higher inflation, but you also had higher wage inflation. And actually, and, you know, if you go back to the 70s when we were getting 20%+ inflation, to a large extent, that was cost push inflation, and wages was a part of that equation. So yeah, it's a small nominal rise in inflation. It's only recently upticked over the Bank of England's 2% target. But as I say, in an environment of where wage rises are even lower, and also forget this is an average, so it covers a multitude of sins. We know that people who are already being paid a lot are also tending to get the higher pay rises. You know, as I said, a lot of people.
The T100 CEOs, for instance.
Indeed, precisely what I was thinking of, so yes. They're worth every penny.
They are, they're very, very good people indeed.
They are.
Let's go on to the slides of the day, most popular in business and finance. May faces calls to soften Brexit as political limbo drags on. From Reuters.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the Queen... Well, the Queen can just go on holiday, can't she? And it's like, well, call me, when you sort yourself out, give me a call and then, you know, I'll do your flipping speech. And until then...
She should join Prince Philip, he's already on holiday. Well, he's nearly on holiday. Next up, we've got China data dump, retail sales and industrial production beat estimates. Whose estimates? The Chinese or...?
the market. I mean, it's welcome because we had decent numbers in the first quarter from out of China. In the last 2 months or so, it's looked quite a bit softer. So this bit of a pickup is very welcome, as I said. But at the end of the day, the People's Bank of China, the central bank there, is very determined to put a squeeze on the so-called shadow banking system. And that means, you know, money is actually quite tight at the moment, and there's only limited willingness to pump prime the economy through fiscal policy. So, you know, basically the... China's growth target is very much a top-end expectation. And over the longer term, you know, we're going to see those growth numbers trend down towards 6% or lower.
Shadow banking system. Does that go with a shadow...
Sounds cool, doesn't it?
Shadow government system as well. But WH Smith, back to good old Blighty. WH Smith's sales rise 2% in 15 weeks to June the 10th. That's also from Reuters. And it shows the marvels of people spending on small-ticket items.
Yeah, exactly. And but I'd be quite interested. I mean, again, I haven't actually looked into those numbers, to be honest with you. But, you know, to say that you're... How much of that is volume and how much of that is pricing? And I'm just wondering whether that is actually pricing. So it might be good for WH Smith. It may not be good for the consumer.
I've delved very deeply into this, as you can imagine. And okay. In fact, what it is that they're doing well in the railways and the airports, but they're not doing well in the high street.
So well, there's people fleeing the country.
Exactly.
Just buy a newspaper on the way out.
Exactly, that's right. The IMF, an organisation that we both respect, yes, and worship, in fact, on
we
a
do.
Daily basis, it's raised its forecast of China's 2017 GDP growth to 6.7% from the previous 6.6%. That's from at Yuan Talks.
That must be the easiest country in the world to actually forecast GDP, because the government basically says GDP growth is going to be this, or it's going to be within this very, very tight range, and then one way or the other, that's precisely the number they come up with. So,
and the guy who does it also...
You could have no model for that for China. And
no, that's right, exactly. So they'll probably get it wrong as well, though.
Well, if anybody can get it wrong, the IMF.
Yes, exactly. Next up, we've got Christopher Wallen. The Fed is taking a gamble, tightening policy when the credit impulse... This is the new term, credit impulse, is negative, and core PCE inflation is just 1.7% and falling. Inflation expectations decline, spending growth outlook remains at a low point, so not nice, really.
Yeah, the whole UK, US macro picture is looking extremely soft. So obviously we saw this massive uptick on the back of Trump's election in November. But actually, by the end of 2016, the reflation trade, you know, in the US... effectively petered out, and it's been China, it's been emerging markets, it's been the growth engine this year of the global economy. And it's interesting to see, despite this, you know, continuing accumulation of soft economic data, soft inflation data, how the Fed is just sticking to its guns, not only of interest rate hikes, we fully expect them to hike, but also balance sheet reduction is something.
Yeah, but the other point is, it was supposed to be the case that you would have the rising interest rates would be hiked at the same time as we had the infrastructure plans and the tax cuts.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've only got this part, the negative part, let's say, and the other part hasn't been done. But Yellen is obviously so keen to keep her job, she keeps raising rates regardless.
It's tricky because the US is already pretty much at full employment. The Fed's own estimation of how fast the US economy can grow without generating further inflation is only 1.9%, and we are at that level, or maybe a touch above, maybe 2.25%. So I'm sure part of the Fed thinking is, well, if we get any fiscal stimulus at all, that's basically going to translate directly into inflation. Obviously, it depends precisely how it's done. Okay, at the moment, that's completely gridlocked.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, they should have waited until there was, you know, we actually had visibility on when that stimulus was going to come through. Otherwise, they could just crash the economy,
arguably,
without anything to counterbalance. Next up, we've got Kamal Ahmed, another person I worship on a daily basis. Wolfgang Schäuble, German finance minister, if the UK wanted to change their decision, they would find open doors, maybe even open pockets.
He's German. No, never open pockets.
Okay, right. Next up, we've got commentary at about 1 o'clock this morning. A massive fire engulfed the Grenfell Tower, North Kensington. And we've got the local MP and got on the scene, trying to sort that situation out. I think we've already had fatalities reported as well, so it's a total horror story. And the Circle Line and Metropolitan lines are not running either. So a bit of chaos there in northwest London. Next up, we have economic calendar, EU industrial production, US consumer price index, and advanced retail sales, with the key event later today, the FOMC rate decision, the Yellen press conference associated with that as well, or attached to that. Mm-hmm. Going on to the FX sentiment, and we had a little bet here before the show in which direction the dollar Canadian would be going, given how everybody seems to have gone, the retail clients seem to have gone long of it. It has been plunging, which was the evidence on the chart, which is surprising, really. It's trying to catch a falling knife there. Otherwise, most of the market's unchanged. And then... going on to the trade of the day, the Trip TV trade of the day, which focuses on RSA Group, daily chart bearish divergence, extremely overbought as per the Murray math lines. I've never heard of them before. Potential head and shoulders there as well. So sell below 618, objective 594, and stops above 630. So reasonable risk reward on that particular idea. Broker recommendations, Centrica, which I presume can breathe a sigh of relief now that Theresa May can't do anything at all on energy caps or anything else, or probably any policy, actually, I would have thought. Reduced there to HSBC seems to be behind the curve. Ashted, the big the equipment hire group, which is the big Trumpflation proxy, overweight there at Barclays Capital, maybe a bit late, I think.
Also dollar play.
Well, there we are. Yeah. And then Mighty Group recovering there. Outsourcers have had a terrible time of late, including Capita as well. Liberum raising their raising their target there from 250 to 290 as the shares have risen from 180 to 280 over the last few months. Mike Ingram, strategist at the BGC Partners, thank you for opening the Tip TV Finance Show, and we will be hearing more from you very soon.
Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.